The message tonight is Jesus, the giver of life. We're going to turn to John chapter 10 and read verses 1 through 11. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Verse 10 of John 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Verse 10 again. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it abundantly. Friend, Jesus came to bring life in place of death. And tonight we're going to talk about this several forms of life that Jesus came to bring us. First, Jesus came to bring spiritual life in place of spiritual death that came as a result of Adam and Eve's sin. So we're going to talk about our forefathers here for just a moment. Adam and Eve. God created Adam, and he put him in this beautiful garden, the Garden of Eden. I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 2 here real quick. Put him in this garden, and he said, Adam, you can eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is Genesis 2, verse 17. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. And so later on in chapter 2 of Genesis, God creates the woman, and lo and behold, in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, the enemy, the devil comes and tempts the woman. Genesis 3, verse 1. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. So, God gave Adam a command, right? He said, you can eat of any tree, but the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, I do not want you eating of, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. The serpent tempted the woman. She ate. She gave some to her husband. And at that point, sin entered the world. Sin entered the world. Spiritual death was passed on from our forefathers, Adam and Eve, to generation after generation to generation after generation. And if you read towards the end of Genesis chapter 3, it says that they were driven from the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden kind of represented the presence of God, fellowship with God. And so they were now alienated from God. They were out of relationship with God because they sinned. They disobeyed God's command not to eat the forbidden fruit. And when they sinned, spiritual death came into the world. And as I said a moment ago, that spiritual death has passed down from generation to generation to generation down to us. And the psalmist writes, right? He writes in Psalm 51:5, he says, "For surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And now we're going to turn to what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2. So that was Psalm 51:5, David's psalm. And it says this in Ephesians 2 verse 1 from the KJV. "And you he hath quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." Dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead in trespasses and sins because of that sin nature, that spiritual death passed down from Adam and Eve to us, right? So the imagery here is of a corpse. You know, wait, physical corpse is insensitive to the life around it. And Paul writes in Ephesians 2:1, "And he hath quickened you who were dead in your transgressions and sins." At one time without Christ, we were spiritually dead. And remember, that came from our forefathers. Adam and Eve, we were like spiritual corpses. A person who is spiritually dead, friends, is insensitive to the voice of God. A person who is spiritually dead doesn't think about how he or she can please God. A person who is spiritually dead is not communing, is not praying to God. A person who is spiritually dead doesn't have Jesus ruling and reigning on the throne of their hearts. And so maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and tonight you find yourself in a state of spiritual death. Or maybe you accepted Jesus at some point in the past, and maybe you got upset with somebody, you got upset with God, and you've slipped away from Jesus. And so tonight, you find yourself kind of as good as spiritually dead. And you know, you might be thinking tonight, "Man, you know, I've slipped away from Jesus, but this is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it." You see, the person who is separated from Christ, the person who is spiritually dead, has that mindset. "This is my life. I do with my life what I want to do with it." Friends, and if that's your mindset here tonight, guess what? Then sin and temptation and addiction can have power over you. But I've got good news for you here tonight. Jesus came and shed His blood on Calvary's Hill on that cross over 2,000 years ago for the forgiveness of sin. By faith in Him, the stronghold of sin can be broken off of your life. What addiction are you dealing with tonight? Do you keep looking at something you should not look at? Do you keep on putting a chemical into your body you should not be doing? Do you keep hanging out with the wrong crowd? And it seems that sin has got a grip and a stronghold over your life. Could it be because Jesus is not ruling and reigning upon the throne of your heart? If He's not ruling and reigning upon the throne of your heart, you're in a state of spiritual death. But the good news is that He wants to give you spiritual life tonight in place of spiritual death. You see, you've got to give every part of your existence over to the control of Jesus, and He will give you spiritual life. It is called the new birth. It is called the rebirth. It is called being born again, being a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you don't have it yet, He wants to give you spiritual life tonight. He is the giver of spiritual life. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. The old is gone. The old life of sin is gone. And the new has come. Jesus wants to recreate your human spirit. He wants to give it new life. He wants to make it blossom and to be alive. But you've got to put your faith in Him. You've got to make Him Savior. You've got to give Him control over every single facet of your life. So my question to you tonight is this: who is in control of your life? Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you? If it's you, Jesus wants you to slip on over to the passenger side and give Him control of the steering wheel of your life. And when you do, friends, spiritual life will enter you. Is that good news here tonight? He came to bring you spiritual life. And the second form of life that Jesus came to bring us was what? He came to bring spiritual life, the rebirth, to be born again, but he also came to bring us eternal life in place of eternal death. Friends, if you were to leave this earth in a spiritually dead condition, the result would be eternal death, separation from God eternally. I can't imagine a second separated from the presence of God, let alone an eternity. But remember what Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, the enemy, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil would want to destroy you eternally. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Have it abundantly. Second form of life that Jesus came to give you, most importantly, was this. Eternal life. 1 John 5, the epistle he writes. It's an awesome verse. I've preached on it before, but it bears repeating again here tonight. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11. And it says this. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, has Zoe. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has Zoe, has eternal life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. My question to you tonight is this, as I posed a moment ago. Do you have the Son in your life? The Son of God, does he rule and reign on the throne of your heart? And I'm here to tell you tonight that if Jesus Christ is in your life, guess what? At that moment that you accepted him, eternal life began for you at that moment in time. If you accepted Jesus as your Savior a week ago, or a month ago, or a year ago, or 10 years ago, at that point, the Zoe life of God entered you. Eternal life began for you at that point. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son does not have life. He wants to give you the gift of eternal life if you have not yet accepted him as Savior and Lord. If you've slipped away, he wants you to recommit your life to him tonight to guarantee you the gift of eternal life when you leave this earth, as you follow him, as you allow him control over every facet area of your existence. I'm going to read you an illustration here tonight that I think illustrates this point of life beautifully. It's from the Preacher's Sourcebook of Creative Sermon Illustrations. All right, so listen to this one. It's called The Collector. Recently, someone sent me the story of a very wealthy man who, with his devoted son, shared a passion for art collecting. They traveled around the world together, adding only the finest paintings to their collection. Included amongst them were the works by Picasso, Van Gogh, and Monet. The old man was a widower, but his son filled up the void in his life, and this was their common bond. But war erupted, and the young man enlisted and was sent overseas. Day after day, the old father prayed, held his breath, and waited for news. One autumn day near Thanksgiving, the dreaded telegram came, bordered in black. The young man had died bravely in combat, trying to evacuate those caught under fire. Distraught and lonely, the old man faced the upcoming holidays with anguish and sorrow. On Christmas morning, a knock sounded at the door. The father opened it to find a soldier there carrying a small package. As they talked, the soldier said, "Your son and I became very close, and he told me all about your joint art collection. I myself am an artist, and I wanted to give you this." The man took this package in his feeble hands, unwrapped it, and there was a portrait of his son in striking detail. It wasn't a masterpiece, but it was the most precious work of art the man had ever seen. As he gazed at it, he wept. And as the young soldier left, the lonely father pushed aside thousands of dollars worth of art and hung the portrait of his son in the prize spot over the fireplace. As the months passed, the old man received letter after letter telling him of his son's bravery and selflessness, and of how many lives he had saved and how many more he had touched. With each passing day, the portrait over the fireplace became more precious, and he told his friends that it was the greatest gift he had ever received. The following spring, the old man grew ill and passed away. The art world was full of anticipation, wanting to get its hands on this man's fabulous collection. A day was set to auction it all off, and according to the old man's instruction, the first painting was one that was not on any museum's list, the painting of the man's son. When the auctioneer asked for an opening bid, the room was silent. "Who will open the bidding at $100?" he asked. The moment stretched on awkwardly, and finally someone in the back of the room said, "Let's go on to the next piece." "No," replied the auctioneer, "we have to sell this one first." Now listen to this. Finally, a neighbor of the man spoke. "Will you take $50 for the painting?" "That's all I have, but I knew the boy and I liked him and I'd like to have it." "$50? We have $50," shouted the auctioneer. "Will anyone go higher?" No one did. Going once, going twice, gone, and the gavel fell. Everyone breathed a deep sigh of relief, thankful now that they could proceed with the real auction and get their hands on the masterpieces. But imagine their shock when the auctioneer suddenly declared that the proceedings were over. A loud clamor arose, stunned disbelief. "What do you mean it's over?" the people shouted. "What about all the masterpieces?" The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will, whoever takes the son gets it all." That good news? All right. The Bible says, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He who has the son has life. He who does not have the son of God does not have life. When you get the son, you get spiritual life. When you get the son, Jesus, you get eternal life. When you get the son, Jesus, you get life to the full, abundant life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus came to bring you all spiritual life, eternal life, and life to the full. Let's turn back real quick to John 10:10. Just going to speak here just a few more moments. John 10, verse 10. "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and have it." That they may have life and have it to the full. Have it abundantly. Remember what I said a moment ago, that when you accepted the Son, when you put your faith in Jesus, when he entered your heart, at that moment, eternal life began for you. At that moment, eternal life began for you. Now, in heaven, eternity forever, what will be there? There will be only beauty and goodness and an abundance of life forever and ever and ever. And so if eternal life began when you accepted Jesus, that means you can have a taste in the here and now of the abundance, of the goodness, of the beauty that will be yours forever in heaven one day. Is that making sense here tonight? In John 10:10, life to the full or abundance means superabundant in quantity, superior in quality, excessive. Jesus came to give you life to the full. He came to give you abundant life. Let me say it again. When you receive the Son, at that point, eternal life entered your being. At that point, eternal life began for you. And if eternal life begins for you at the point that you accept Jesus, that means you can have a taste of the abundance of goodness and beauty that will be in heaven forever in the here and now. Is that making sense here tonight? So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is this. Is that maybe tonight you're dealing with turmoil. Maybe there is turmoil around you. A lot of bad news. Maybe you've received some personal bad news and there's turmoil going on around you. Maybe there's some type of storm that's occurring around you and in your life. Remember, in heaven one day, you will have an abundance of peace forever and ever. And you can have a taste of that peace in the here and now. Because when you receive the Son, eternal life began for you at that moment. Jesus Christ, according to Isaiah 9, verse 6, is the Prince of Peace. Is there a storm going on around you? Remember when Jesus calmed the storm in Matthew chapter 4, verses 35 through 39? He can calm the storm in your life. He is the Prince of Peace. There may be turmoil in your life. There may be turmoil going on around you, but you can be at peace on the inside because Jesus lives right there in your heart. He came to bring us abundant life, life to the full, superabundant in quantity, superior in quality, excessively good life. Are you down? Are you downcast tonight, depressed? Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a relationship. Maybe you've lost a material thing that you needed. And so maybe you're down and depressed tonight. The joy of the Lord is your strength. In heaven, when you leave this earth because you got Jesus and you go to heaven one day, there will be an abundance of joy forevermore in heaven. Joy forever will be yours in heaven. But you can have a taste of that joy in the here and now on this earth. Because when you accepted the Son, when you received the Son into your life, eternal life began for you at that point. And you can have a taste of the beauty of the joy of the Lord in the here and now. Are you down? Are you depressed on the inside? Remember the widow of Nain in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. The widow of Nain, her only son had died. But the miracle worker, Jesus, showed up. She must have been down and depressed. Her only son had passed away. But Jesus, the miracle worker, was about to bring life back to this young man, and he said to the man, he said in Luke 7, verse 15, the dead man sat up. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. He replaced the woman's sorrow, the woman's grief, the woman's despondency with joy. He turned her sorrow into joy. He can do the same for you tonight, friends. You may be sorrowing, grieving over a loss tonight, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the joy giver. You can have a taste of the joy of the Lord in the here and now. Don't let that grief. The enemy would want to use grief and sorrow to keep you up at night. But you can have the joy of the Lord. He came to give you life to the full. He came to give you life abundantly. Are you physically ill here tonight? Guess what? In heaven, in eternity with God, what will we have? Physical wholeness forever and ever and ever. Not one ounce of sickness or disease in eternity. And remember what I said. When you accepted the Son, when you received the Son, eternal life began for you at that point. That means you can have a taste of the miracle working power of God in your physical body in the here and now. You'll be forever whole in heaven one day, but you can have a taste of that wholeness in your body in the here and now in this place called earth. He wants to bring physical life to your body. Maybe the doctors have said to you that there's nothing we can do surgically. There's no hope. There's nothing. We can't turn it around medically. Medically speaking, it's impossible, they may have told you. But I'm here to tell you tonight that we serve a God who takes seemingly impossible situations and makes them possible again. We serve a God who does 180s in people's lives. Maybe the doctors have said there's nothing we can do for you. But the divine surgeon is saying, "I can do it for you. What's impossible for man is possible for me," says God. God can turn it around physically in your life or in the life of a loved one. He is the giver of life. Is that good news here tonight? As you read the Gospels, you can find the miracle working power of Jesus continually happening. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John raising the dead, casting demons out of the demon possessed, healing the sick, bringing sight back to those who are blind, like in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30, the two blind men who received their sight because they had such strong faith in Jesus. And He can do it for you, friends. Jesus is the giver of life. He's come to give you spiritual life by faith in Him. He's come to give you eternal life when you leave this earth. And He's come to give you life to the full, abundant life here on this earth, a taste on this earth of the abundant goodness and life that you'll experience in heaven one day. Was that good news here tonight? The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Have it abundantly. In Jesus Christ, abundant life is yours. Amen? Amen? Just have faith in God. Faith honors God. It really does. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Start seeking God in prayer about what your need is in your life. He will reward those who diligently seek Him. Amen?
Amen?
If it's impossible to please God without faith, to me it says that with faith it is possible to please God. He's come to give you life. Maybe there's some of you out there tonight that have never accepted Jesus as your Savior. If you have not, then you are in a spiritually dead state. And Jesus wants to give you spiritual life tonight. He wants to recreate your human spirit. So if you've never accepted Jesus, tonight's the time you need to do it. Because remember, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to step into eternity in the next hour, where would you spend it? Do you know where you would spend it? If you've never accepted Jesus and God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Heed to the voice of God. Or maybe you accepted Jesus at some point, and maybe you got upset with God, got upset with somebody, and you've slipped away from Jesus, and you're going your own way. You pretty much are in a spiritually dead state, and tonight you can recommit your life back to Jesus and receive spiritual life. So if you want to re-give your life back to Jesus tonight, raise your hands. Anybody in the room, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. If you're not sure, okay, I see these men with their hands up. Stand up. Stand up, guys. If you're not sure beyond the shadow of a doubt that your life is right with Christ, give Him a hand tonight. You've got to know for sure. You've got to know for sure. Because the next hour is not guaranteed you. Anybody else want to follow their lead? It doesn't matter what somebody in front of you thinks. It doesn't matter what somebody to the right or left of you thinks. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. Anybody else want to follow their lead? They want that spiritual life of Christ, of God, to come on the inside. Anybody else in the room here tonight wanting to follow their lead? In the next 5 minutes, that person will forget. They're not going to remember you. Don't worry about what somebody's thinking about you, friends. It's only what Jesus, only what God thinks about you that really matters. All right, those guys standing up, come forward. Come forward tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? All right. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. They really are. Anybody else want to follow their lead? Anybody else? All right. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I thank You for dying upon the cross for my sins. I followed You at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. I've gone my own way. I feel spiritually dead. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going Your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life, my spirit, what I do with my body, my mind, my relationships, my finances, every part of me, Jesus, be in full control. Jesus, I pray that you give me the strength, your grace, to follow you the rest of my days on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face in heaven one day. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for spiritual life, eternal life, and life to the full, life abundantly here on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. For those guys here tonight that recommitted your lives to Jesus Christ, there's certain spiritual disciplines you can practice to remain close to Christ. Keep going to church services. Keep reading your Bible. Pray to God. Find good Christian friends, all right? May God richly bless you. Enjoy this beautiful evening. And God be with you. We'll see you next month. Who's first? Go ahead.
Can we give Brother Johnson another round of applause?